Thank God for the blessing and the privilege that we have already had just being in the Lord's house. I do want to remind our church family, we have a box in the back for socks and handkerchiefs that'll go to the Kingsbrook nursing home. So you can bring that in. We sure appreciate it. I know it'll be a blessing to those folks that receive it. They do enjoy that every year. We thank God for that, and we'll see exactly how many we need to get a hold of here shortly. But in the meantime, let's just pray the Lord will continue to bless and continue to bless this church. Good to see this good number with us today, and we have a good number out in the parking lot as well. We thank the Lord for that. I'm very blessed and very thankful that down through the time since we've reopened back in, what was it, May, something like that, this church has been faithful. She's been steady, and we thank the Lord for that. And I want to, first of all, commend you for that. Never giving up and just keeping on. And pray the Lord will continue to bless. We need to see more churches like this. Pray God will just bless pastors to give the leadership that they need. There are so many churches today that are completely shutting down or walking away from their services. I just thank the Lord that we continue to preach the Word of God here and continue to go forward in this fight in which we are embattling today. We embattle the devil. That's who we're fighting. We need to always remember that. He's doing everything in his power to disrupt and destroy churches. And he's about his business doing what he does best. And that's exactly what he does best. Cause division and break the unity of a body. And it isn't very long you'll see that the church falls away. And then the community loses a light, the lighthouse. That's when problems really begin to creep in. So let's pray. God will continue to bless. I know they keep saying all these things on the television, but I trust my God. I tell you, I believe in the Lord. I believe that he's faithful to his people who are faithful to him. I still trust in those words. If you would turn your Bibles today to the book of Matthew in chapter 22. Matthew in chapter 22. I want to begin reading at verse 34. We'll read down through verse 40. And while you're turning there, we'd like to welcome our radio audience. This is Brother John Liebrook, pastor of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church at Old Town. That's just outside of Greenup County, out of Carter County, Kentucky. And you can get to us by taking Route 1 or Route 7. We thank God for the blessed privilege and what an honor it is to know that there are people out in radio land who constantly listen, who tell us of the blessings that this church has been to them down through the years. And even today, as I said just a moment ago, receiving a letter, something that you very rarely have, but when it does come, it just kind of reassures you that you're still doing the work that is God-pleasing and God-honoring and that is a blessing to others around the world. And I thank the Lord that we have the ability to go around the world to preach the Word of God. And just in a moment, as soon as we get through with this message, and just within a minute or two, Brother Jamie has it up and it's around the world that quick. And we thank God for that blessed privilege. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to be bringing a message this morning, loving God with heart, soul, and mind. In verse 34, Matthew 22, the Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.'" A three-way love that humanity is commanded to love our God with. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto that, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, once again, dear God, as we bow our unworthy heads before thy throne, Father, we thank you for the blessed privilege of being able to gather as thy people once again in this house, to bow our heads in prayer, coming into thy very presence. We know, dear God, that the only reason that we can do so is because of what Jesus Christ done for us on the cross of Calvary, in shedding his blood, applying it to the mercy seat in heaven, giving his children, those whom he died for, access into the very throne room of the Almighty. And dear God, today we praise you. Father, this church lifts up thy name in song and in word. We also, dear God, lift up thy name in fellow communion with one another. Father, we pray that as we do gather as thy people, that we'll always have that very thought before our eyes, that we are gathering in the very presence of Almightiness. We understand, according to thy word, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. And dear God, today, I believe. Father, I thank you today that you've given me the gift of faith whereby I can believe on these wonderful truths. And Father, today I pray for those that may be out here in our audience, whether in this house or in the parking lot or somewhere around this world, that do not know thee as Lord and Savior, that, dear God, this may be the very hour by which they come to know and recognize thee as the Savior of their souls. Lord, bless in salvation, save lives, and save souls. And Father, forgive us our sin in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Loving God with heart, soul, and mind. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends and our radio audience, our message today is one of defining what we as humanity are encouraged to do as God's created beings. We find this word, loving, defined by the dictionary this way. Loving, showing or feeling affection, done with enjoyment and careful attention. This is how we must feel after seeing what God has done for us. In sending His precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, placing our sins and transgressions upon His own shoulders, paying for them with His own precious life, Jesus Christ was and is God's gift to humanity so that our lives may be better. John 10:10 declares, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what Satan is doing around this world today. He's causing division to come in, and what it does, it leaves in its wake a mess. When you see something destroyed, it is in total chaos. And that's what we see around this whole globe this very morning. That's what the devil's work is. That's what Satan does best. He comes about bringing division and harm. But the shepherd does something different, does he not? The Bible says of the shepherd in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This is why I preach of the hope of salvation to everyone who will believe, that their lives may be abundantly better. Not just abundantly better, but made in the likeness of Jesus Christ itself. The first and great commandment is designed to grab your attention this morning, to arouse your thought process on why God created us to begin with. It was to love and glorify His being as God and Creator and now Savior. Amen. That's what God has done for us. So first of all today, as we look into our text in Matthew 22 and verse 37, the Bible says, as Jesus spoke to this great noted lawyer of the time, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." With all thy heart. Heart. You know, here in Matthew 22 and 37, this little word heart has a special definition in the Greek. And it is where we get our word cardiac. Cardia is what the word is. And it means heart. It means the mind. The seat of thought and emotion. The heart was thought to be the seat of the inner self, composed of life, soul, mind, and spirit. Heart is similar in meaning to soul, but often the heart was a focus on thinking and understanding. So, as you look at this definition out of the Greek, you understand that when he says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, it's meaning with all thy soul, with all thy understanding, with all thy belief. You see, it comes right down to this, folks. It's a faith issue. That's what it is. This kind of love that we have for some entity that we have never seen, it takes faith. It takes believing. That's the reason why that when I see the Word of God and something that I don't necessarily understand, the only thing I could say is I believe. And folks, I believe. Now many would say to me, as the Scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Many will say to me, well, that's not really what it means, but I believe that's exactly what God was saying in through Jesus Christ, His Son. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. You know why? He's here to view our worship of Him. He's here to view our togetherness, our coming together, our emotional state as we praise and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look with me, if you will, for just a moment to Mark in chapter 2, just over just a few pages. Mark in chapter 2, as we are dealing with this thought process of thinking and understanding. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, "And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit," in other words, when his thought process was come to him, when he looked into these men's eyes and in their hearts, it says he perceived in his spirit, in other words, this emotional state of thinking and understanding, and really this is talking about understanding. When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" In other words, why is this billowing up in your thinking process, your understanding? You know, as Mary, the mother, I mean the virgin mother of Jesus Christ, states in Luke 1:51, it is stated, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." It's talking about their understanding. I'm telling you today that when it comes to loving God, the Bible says you must do it with the depths of your understanding. Everything that you know about God, you need to love Him with all that you know about Him. Your understanding. So Jesus Christ says here in our text of Matthew 22 and verse 37, the first part, we are told to love the Lord God with all our heart or with every fiber of our being. Lost individual, I want you to know today this is imperative that you get a hold of this. Because there is an entity out there that wants your attention. And he's doing everything in his power to grab a hold of your thought process, your thinking, your understanding. And he's telling you even now, listen, yes, what he's saying may be true, but you've got all your life to think about this. When the Bible says very plainly, we're not promised tomorrow. When the Bible says very plainly that we are as the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. When the Bible plainly states that our lives are but a vapor that is seen and then dissipates, it's gone. Yeah, Satan wants you to think that you've got every opportunity down the road somewhere. But who knows what tomorrow holds? Who knows what lies outside the door even today? Who knows but what all of a sudden some grim report's going to come from your doctor? Who knows that? None of us know that. None of us know that. So today, as we look at this, this is where, my friend, this is where real faith comes in. This is where real belief comes a hold of an individual. Yes, you may be thinking, how can I love with that deep emotion and not see with my eye the object of that emotion? Faith, my friend, is the only thing that will make the difference in any of our lives. It takes faith. You must believe by faith. You must believe. Listen, this is God's holy word. This is the very breath of God. I believe that. That's what the Bible says. God breathed this. This is the very inspired word of God. And I believe that everything in this book is God's inspired word. Now there are those in the world today who doubt the word of God. There are those in the world today who will take the word of God and say there's flaws in it. Then you have no faith in what this word can say. I have faith in God's word. I believe. And I believe that's the very reason why today that I'm saved by the grace of God is because I believe by faith. Is this something simple as that? Is this something that is just like that and all you have to do is just believe? I want you to know you have to do more than believe. You have to believe with all thy soul, heart, and mind. Faith, my friend, is the only thing that will make a difference. You must believe, even though you see not with the physical eye. That's when salvation comes in. That's when it's made real to you as an individual. No, I have never seen Jesus with my physical eye. No, my ears have never heard His physical voice. But I believe He has spoke to me. And I believe I can see Him by faith as He died for me on the cross of Calvary. That makes all the difference in the world. I believe. I choose to believe. Many people hate that word choose. But it, regardless of what you think, it's a part of our being. And it's a part of understanding. It's a part of our thinking mode. There comes a time in our lives when decisions have to be made in our minds. And it's of right and wrong. It's of good and evil. You yourselves choose every day how to walk in this life. What you're going to partake of. What you're going to do. What sin you're going to engulf yourself in. You choose to do that. You choose to go against God's word. When you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you have chosen to do so because your mind has told you it's either not real or you've got some other time to take care of it. Is that not correct? Is that not right? But today, as we are looking into the Word of God, my prayer is just this, that God's Holy Spirit, who is moving in and out of these pews and up and down these aisles today, would touch your reckoning, your reasoning agent, and would cause you to notice something. You know what that takes? That takes a quickening of the Spirit. Can man simply just wake up? No. It takes God to wake man up. It takes His Spirit to reach down and touch you. That's the reason why today, that, you know, as a pastor and as a preacher, many times as I'm standing behind the pulpit preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I see concern and I see heartbreak upon the eyes of individuals. It may be just because the Holy Spirit has made you aware of the fact that Jesus came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. Maybe that's what it is. Or it could be simply guilt. All men are going to become guilty, and that means all mankind, man, woman, boy, or girl. There's not going to be one innocent individual that is ever cast into hell. They're all going to be made to know that they're guilty, and they're going to be made to know their guilt here. Turn with me, if you will, for just a moment to the book of Romans. I want to make sure that I read this correctly. And what God's Word does say. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. And now I would ask you to read verse 18. Because in verse 17, I'll just keep backing up if you let me. The Bible says, the way of peace have they not known. Why? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty. Guilty before God. You know right now, God's Word makes you accountable. You believe that? Yes, sir. God's Word makes you today accountable. Therefore, you stand before the holiness of heaven in a guilty situation, and you must repent and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're going to stand in that guilt and be judged in that guilt one day to come. Again, faith is the only thing that will make a difference. I go to the book of Acts, back up just a little bit to Acts in chapter 8, and I'm not going to spend all of my time in these different scriptures that I could this morning. I'll give you a few just so we can mark our words. As Philip and the Ethiopian, the eunuch, was traveling alone, the Bible says that this Ethiopian was reading out of the scripture Isaiah. And the Bible states that as he was reading, Philip saw him and he ran thither to him and heard him read prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what he's saying here in verse 30? Do you understand what I'm saying here today? Not necessarily, do you? Except some man guide thee. That's what the eunuch spoke to Philip. He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. And that word does not necessarily mean just to lay out a bunch of points for him to follow like a modern day evangelist do. You walk an aisle, you repeat a prayer, you shake the preacher's hand, you say yes to some questions, and then you're saved. That's not the guiding that is mentioned here. That's the guiding of the devil. And it goes on every Sunday. It goes on every Sunday night and Wednesday night where these high-pressured evangelists want to get numbers and get a bunch of hands raised. Listen, I want you to know it's more than just that. It's a heart issue that you must deal with yourself. Salvation, my friend, is personal. It's personal. It's between you and God. But the Bible says here in this guiding him, what he's wanting to know is, how is this salvation able to work? The Bible says in verse 35, that Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. You see, that's what I'm saying today. That's the guiding light that needs to be going out today. Jesus and him crucified. The Bible says, and as they went their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what did Philip say? If thou believest, amen. If thou believest with all thine heart, here we go again with that word heart. That does not mean the physical pumper of blood in your chest right now. It is not this physical thing that sputters and kicks from time to time. It is the inner being of an individual, the deepest seat of emotions. With all thine heart, that's the way you must believe. He said again, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And what did he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Now, I understand we've got to be careful right here, because the Bible declares that even the devils believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But the belief that this eunuch got a hold of is the belief that changed his life altogether. And it's the same belief that will change your life. In Acts 8, and again, back up just a little bit to verse 9 of Acts 8. This was the sorcerer, Simon. And he had been using a lot of sorcery on people, and he had them captivated with his trickery and his witchness. But then the gospel was proclaimed. And the Bible speaks about the fact that there was great joy in the city. But in verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least of the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. This is what the people believed in this sorcerer. They thought he was some special power. I know churches today that look at men of God like that. That's wrong. That's a dangerous place to be in. That's a dangerous place to place a man of God as well. To make think that nothing he can do is wrong or say is wrong. Listen, you got to be careful about that. I know people today that have idolized preachers who have fell into sin and they fell hard. Folks, I'll tell you, the Bible says, put your trust in God, not in men. Put your trust in God, not in princes. We'll get to that in just a moment. But here the Bible says, as all these individuals were chasing after this sorcerer, they came in and began to preach the word of God. The Bible says that there were those that believed. And Philip, as he preached the word of God, they believed. And they were saved. The Bible says they believed and were baptized. Let me ask you something today. Have you come to a place and point in your life right now that you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Faith will help you to do that. And if that faith, that gift of faith has been imparted unto you, let me tell you this, it is time to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, in John 1. The Bible says in verse 11 and 12, He came into His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Do you believe today? God give you power. God give you that gift of believing. Do you believe today at the deepest level? Now, secondly, the Bible says to all humanity, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and now with all thy soul. With all thy soul. So, in the Greek, is translated to life, heart, mind, the person, the immaterial and eternal part of the inner person. That's what the soul is. Every individual that's ever been brought into this world has a soul, a living soul. Because when God created Adam, he was no different than an animal until God breathed the breath of life into him and he became a living soul. No other place do you see God's breath given life. The Bible speaks about the creation of the animals. He created them and it was done. Nowhere does it say that he breathed his life into them, his breath. But he did man. He did you as an individual. Listen, as you took that breath, you need to understand that as Adam took the first breath that God gave, it made him a living soul. Every individual in this house has become a living soul, never to die. That soul will never die. It'll exist throughout all eternity because God's breath made it come about. Think about that. God's breath has made you a living soul. You see, again, that's exactly what God did for Adam in Genesis 2 and 7. But again, this immaterial or eternal part of the inner person is the animate self. And that word from the dictionary means to make active, to arouse somebody or something into activity. To cause to live and to bring somebody to life. That's what it means. And that's exactly what God did in our lives. You know, at the very moment when conception is made, that is an individual. Now there are those in this world today says, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Regardless of what Miss Clinton wants to say, this is a living being at the very moment of conception. That's what a baby is. It has become a living being. You became a living being at the moment of your conception, and you are an eternal being now. God's breath has made us living souls. More than just a physical body, but with something inside to empower this body. And when that soul leaves, this body will not move. This body becomes cold and stiff. When life is gone, and you see this soul is what gives the body life. That soul needs to be saved. So that body will one day be resurrected into life everlasting. Well, more than just a physical body. Without God's breath, we are no better than the animal kingdom. But we have a living, we are a living soul. And it is with this part of us that we must love the Lord our God. The inner person, the deepest part of us, the part of us which makes us, us. A lot of us is there, wasn't it? But that's true. This is what makes us, us. That is the part of us that truly makes the difference. John 6:63. What does the Bible say here about the Spirit? Let's go back here for just a moment. John 6:63. The Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh. In other words, it's the Spirit that made the flesh alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, that's what makes all the difference today. The difference when the soul loves the Lord thy God. That's when it'll make a difference to your body. That's when we'll want to live for the glory of God and we'll want to do everything that is pleasing for the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. Today, I would to God that individuals would grasp a hold of the necessity to look to Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life that now is and that which is to come. Brother Jamie said it this morning. Listen, the suffering of this present world fails and pales in comparison to the glory that God is going to bless us with in the future. The Bible says in 1 John, it doth not yet be... let's just go back there because I'm going to misquote it if I ain't careful. 1 John, it doth not yet appear what we shall be is what I was looking at here. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The inner man needs to be aroused unto action. The inner man needs to be moved upon by the Spirit. And you know how that happens? Through the preaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. What's a gift of God? The gift of faith that causes you and I to step out by faith. The inner man needs that arousal, that bringing to life. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1? Look at this with me here. I'm going to be coming to a close here just shortly. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened. In other words, you hath been made alive. That's what that word quickened here means, to be brought to life. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. You go on down and you look at verse 4 and it says, but God. What that's referring to is the two verses above that talks about the fact that we were in the world. We lived as the world. We lived with the influence of the devil behind us. But God. who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, my friend, today, as we look at these scriptures, I want to know today, do you love him with all your heart and now with all thy soul? Have you been made to be made aware of the fact that you need him today? So lastly today, as I look at this last point, I want you to consider this. The Bible says to all humanity, Jesus said unto him in Matthew 22 and verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and now with all thy mind. With all thy mind. Mind. You know, and I really like to go to the Greek and the Hebrew when I'm talking about things about the Bible, because that's the way the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew and Latin. But here the Bible says, you know, for the Greek word mind, it means the deep thoughts. Not just a superficial knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not with just the superficial knowledge of your mom and dad's devotion to you about Jesus Christ and salvation. Not just the knowledge of it, but the deepest sense of knowing that Jesus died for you. The faculty of your being. The mind or its disposition. The understanding. Imagination. You know, I look at this grandson of mine, and I'll tell you what, he's got an imagination. He likes to discover things. He likes to look at things. He thinks with a deep emotion and imagination. And sometimes I stand and I look back and I say, man, where'd that come from? I mean, the young man's bright. And I know all of our kids are. Maybe it's just a grandpa in me saying that. But no, he's really to me, he's a special little one. Of course. I'm just getting deeper and deeper, ain't I? But at any rate, I sit and I watch this young man. I watch him and I watch him as he contemplates the next move. Or the next thing that he's going to be looking at. That's what I want you to do right here at this very moment. I want something to agitate your mind. To think this over deep down in your thought process. Because this is the first and great commandment that God says to you today. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want your mind to be agitated. I want it to be aroused. I want you to think this thing over. I want you to have power of thought and intellect here this morning. We reason. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 20, the Bible says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Listen to me, lost sinner friend. You young people, listen to me this morning. You out in the parking lot or all the, wherever you're at in this world today, listen to this word. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's where I want you to come to today. That's what I want you to know today. Salvation. Salvation. What does it say in one of those scriptures that, yes, I love? Isaiah 1:18. The Bible says very plainly here now, come now. There's the moment that arouses your attention. It's in a call to attention today. And that's the same call that goes forth out of this house this morning. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Let us think intelligently. Let the intellect of your mind, that which you've been brought up with, the John 3:16s, the John 3:36s that Brother Jamie mentioned this morning. Let these things play over in your mind that God sent His only Son to die in your place as a gift to you. Here shortly, we're going to be celebrating Christmas all over the world. Of course, when the commercialism gets in it, it knocks everything out of the way, and we understand that commercialism it's ruined this world, to be honest with you. It's taken away the real meaning. And I know there are those that say, well, the Bible doesn't say we're to celebrate Christ's birth. Well, I thank God for the birth of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and I will celebrate it every day. Every day is Christmas to me. Every day is Christmas to me because that is my recollection of God sending His Son to die in my place. He was my gift that God gave me. And it's the same gift that God gives everyone who will receive it. That gift is not going to do you any good unless you receive it. It's just like if I reach in my billfold, if I've got a dollar bill here, there's a dollar bill. One of you youngins come up here and get this. Just a simple dollar bill. You see what I'm saying? The gift is only good to those who come and receive it. That gift could have come to any one of you who would have come and received it. You see what I'm saying? God gave us a gift in Jesus Christ. But that gift has done nobody any good unless they received it, like John 1:12 tells us. Let me ask you something now. Why wouldn't you come and receive it? You think I wouldn't give it to you? I'm just like what the Word says. All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. The first person who would have came would have received that gift. And it's the same way in salvation. You come. You receive the gift of Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The reason why that little fella came because he knew, he believed that his granddaddy wasn't going to take it away from him. It's his. You see what I'm saying? Today is the day of salvation. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Cling to God's Word today. Man's Word will only leave you in a state of confusion. I mentioned a while ago, listen, when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the God of heaven, it is a faith issue. It's really not something that can be reasoned out. You must believe. In Psalm 118, The Bible says in verse 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In Psalm 4, in the first part of verse 6 or so, the Bible says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us, and thou shalt put gladness in our hearts. Listen to that. That's what salvation will do for you this morning. It'll put gladness back in your heart. Today, if you're here and you're lost, you don't know the Lord, your Savior, I implore you today. I beseech you. I am only a man. And I can't touch your heart, but boy, I tell you, I know one who can. Amen. And if thou shalt believe, thou shalt be saved. That's the Bible. And He will not take it away from you. Would you believe Him today? Trust Him today. Step out in faith, which is what salvation is all about, is faith. Step out in faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as thy Savior, and thou shalt be saved. Let's all stand, please.